I'm Christine Sandy, and I'm the Program Director of the Rural Health Information Hub, and I'd like to welcome you to today's webinar. This is the second in a four-part series that we're hosting in collaboration with the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy, focusing on rural maternal health. Today's webinar will highlight rural hospitals engaging with the perinatal quality collaboratives. We have provided a PDF copy of the presentation on the RHI Hub website, and that's accessible through the URL on your screen. At this point, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Dr. Kristen Dillon, who is the Chief Medical Officer with the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy. Dr. Dillon?
Hi, everyone. It's just great to have so many of you, hundreds of you, joining us today and for this series. So as she mentioned, my name is Kristen Dillon. I am a rural family physician and the chief medical officer for the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy. Our office sits in the Health Resources and Services Administration, known as HRSA, which is part of the federal government's Department of Health and Human Services. Among our mission is the charge to work on improving access for rural communities to healthcare and fostering care that's effective, equitable, safe, and of high quality. So in that realm, the highest priority work that I and many of my colleagues across HHS are doing is addressing the crisis in maternity care in our country. We can see how it's disproportionately impacting people of color and rural residents, and many of us are focusing everything we can on what we as the federal government, what state governments, what health systems, what community members can do to improve this very concerning situation. So one of the things we decided we could do was this four-part series of presentations that is really looking to improve knowledge, to improve your motivation, and to improve skills among the staff working in rural hospitals around maternity care. For hospitals that have birth units, we're promoting and facilitating forward motion around the birthing-friendly hospital measure. It's a good measure. It helps to, it looks at implementation of standardized care sets, which is what we'll be talking about in the April 9th webinar in 2 weeks, and what we'll be doing today, which is engaging with your state's perinatal quality collaborative to learn from others and implement best practices. And then the fourth in the series on April 23rd is aimed at hospitals without birth units. We certainly encourage hospitals that are still offering birthing services, and especially hospitals that are referral centers, to also attend. We know that people who are pregnant, birthing, postpartum are going to present for care everywhere. Just because your facility closed its birth unit does not mean the need to have capabilities in that area has ended. And we're working really hard on sharing information and listening so that we can develop a shareable, scalable solution that helps hospitals identify what's the scope of services you can safely offer, what's the equipment you need, how do you train your staff to do that, and how do you set up the right coordination to get patients where they need to go when a transfer is necessary. So we look forward to having you here with us today, and please join us in the future. We certainly are in conversations about everything we can do to pull together what we learned from this series and how we'll share that back. And with that, it's my pleasure to introduce our speakers for today's webinar. So Jacqueline Wallace, Jackie, is a medical officer for the Statewide Perinatal Quality Collaborative Program at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Wallace is an obstetrician-gynecologist physician with a deep commitment to woman-centered care that respects ethnic and cultural diversity delivered through the lens of reproductive health as a human right. Next, Caroline Sedano is a perinatal unit manager at the Washington State Department of Health. She uses she/her pronouns. In her current role, she supervises the state's maternal mortality review program, the Washington State Perinatal Collaborative, the Title V Perinatal and Women's Health Domains, the Birth Equity Project, and is the principal investigator for Washington's ERASE Maternal Mortality PQC and MHI grants. Prior to her time at the Department of Health, Caroline served as a CDC Public Health Associate for the Shoalwater Bay Tribe and a desk officer for the CDC's Global HIV/AIDS Program. Welcome. And finally, presenting today will be Annie Glover. She, her, She's a senior research scientist at the University of Montana Rural Institute for Inclusive Communities and a research associate professor at the University of Montana School for Public and Community Health Sciences. She's the director of the Montana Perinatal Quality Collaborative, facilitates the Montana Maternal Mortality Review Committee, and is the principal investigator of Montana's CDC Perinatal Quality Collaborative Grant, the HRSA AIM Capacity Grant, and Montana's Title V Maternal Child Health Block Grant Needs Assessment. A tribal descendant of the Bitterroot, Salish, and Pend'Oreille, Dr. Glover's rural policy work has included serving as a state lobbyist for the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. So we'll start with Dr. Wallace giving us a high-level look at perinatal quality collaboratives, and then we just are so grateful to have colleagues from Washington State and Montana joining us to talk about their state-based experience in a way that hopefully you and the audience can connect with and learn from. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jackie.
Thank you so much, Kristen, and good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is Jackie Wallace, and I'm the medical officer for the Perinatal Quality Collaborative Program at the CDC, which is also a bureau within HHS. Many of you may have participated in the first webinar of this series just a few weeks ago, and during that webinar, I reviewed some basic information about PQCs. So I'm going to do my very best not to repeat too much of that information, but I'm hoping rather to build upon it and spend a little bit more time discussing the details of how hospitals collaborate together with PQCs. We'll start today by reviewing the state of maternal health in the United States more broadly. We'll talk a little bit about the history of quality improvement in maternal child health. And then it's my pleasure to pass the microphone to the two state PQCs, which is really the highlight of this afternoon's talk. The next several slides review the state of maternal mortality in the US, and they are courtesy of the Dr. Lisa Ollier of the Maternal Mortality Prevention Team here at CDC. So many thanks to Dr. Ollier for her slides. These data presented come from the Pregnancy Mortality Surveillance System, or PMSS, which is within CDC. And you can see that the pregnancy-related mortality has not improved over the last almost 2.5 decades. And just of note, PMSS is using the specific definition of mortality being a death while pregnant or within 1 year of the end of pregnancy from any cause that's related to or aggravated by the pregnancy. Equally, or maybe even more concerning, is that there are persistent and significant disparities that exist in maternal outcomes in the United States. And you can see from this slide that's broken out by racial and ethnic groupings, that the Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islander, the non-Hispanic Black pregnancy-related mortality is significantly higher than non-Hispanic White, non-Hispanic American Indian and Alaska Native also far exceeds that of non-Hispanic White, non-Hispanic Asian, and Hispanic. These disparities, which I think is probably of most interest to this group, is that these disparities, there are disparities that also exist based on geography. So the columns on the right, the two farthest columns on the right, are mortality for rural areas, which are almost twice as high as those of the large central and fringe metro areas. And this is really the real reason that we're here today. Maternal mortality review committees have determined that about 84% of pregnancy-related deaths were determined to be preventable. So that's why we're working so hard. We can do something about this. And preventable is defined as there's some chance of the death being prevented by one or more reasonable changes to patient, family, provider, facility, system, or community factors. that's really the foundational reason, I think, why we do this work. And this slide shows perhaps a more practical reason why we're here today. And that's because of the CMS birthing friendly designation. So in 2022, CMS established this birthing friendly designation to describe high quality maternity care. And to earn the designation, a hospital or hospital system needs to respond to the question that's there on the slide. Do you participate in a statewide or national perinatal quality collaborative? And also, do you implement patient safety practices or bundles? And the hospitals have the choice to answer yes, no, or not applicable. So that's what we're here for today, is to delve into the perinatal quality collaborative portion of that question and talk a little bit more about what that means. So to start that conversation, I'm going to just give a really, really quick overview of the history of perinatal quality improvement. This maternal child health QI, well, really QI in general in the United States, really took off in the late 90s with a couple of really important reports published by the Institute of Medicine. And in 1997, the first perinatal quality collaborative was formed in California. Throughout the 2000s, there was growth of perinatal QI, largely spearheaded by professional organizations and states. Throughout the 2010s, there came additional requirements from the Joint Commission and also CMS that sort of propelled perinatal QI. And then by the 2020s, bringing us up to the present, there is now a perinatal quality collaborative in every state. CDC does support PQCs and also the national network of PQCs. So a brief review of what exactly is a PQC. So PQC is a state or multi-state network of multidisciplinary teams. The teams are generally made up of perinatal care providers, public health professionals, and community members and community-based organizations that are working together to improve population-level maternal and infant outcomes. So PQCs address gaps and reduce variation in care. And it's really critical because variation in care is a big driver of health disparities. There's variation in care at the hospital level, at the patient level, and PQCs really help hospitals address care processes that may contribute to the variations in outcomes. And they do this through the use of quality improvement methods. So where are PQCs? Well, as I mentioned, everywhere. Based on reporting from September of 2023, 76% of all birthing hospitals in the U.S. participate with their state PQC. However, there is quite a lot of variety in what sort of the shape and structure and activities of a PQC. There's a big range in experience. As I mentioned, the first PQC was formed in 1997. The youngest PQC was formed in 2024. PQCs are sometimes housed within the Department of Health of a state, often within an academic institution. There are some PQCs that are standalone nonprofits. Some are housed within the state hospital association. And oftentimes the PQCs are actually formed from a partnership of these different actors. And so I do understand it can make it a little difficult to actually find a PQC. So I really wanted to highlight this map. This map is from the National Network of PQCs, and you can see the link is right there. And we're going to try to demonstrate this interactive map to you. So Mackenzie, if we can try to go to the NNPQC map. So when you go to the NNPQC page, you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom. It's not exactly intuitive. But just you get to this nice map. If you hover over a state, like if you go over Texas, It will show you the Texas Collaborative for Healthy Mothers and Babies, and you're able to click on that and you can see the contact information to the left. So hopefully this would make it easier for you to find your state PQC if you're looking to connect with them. PQCs implement or support quality improvement initiatives. And they're supporting the hospitals as the hospital teams implement quality improvement activities. So a PQC initiative includes these three pillars. There's the collaborative learning, the rapid response data, and the quality improvement science support. So for collaborative learning, a PQC has used this collaborative learning model where the teams are doing a lot of sharing and learning from each other. And when I say teams, I mean the hospital teams. So PQCs are great at bringing hospital teams together and providing information. So lots of webinar series. Some PQCs will provide simulation training. There are often kickoff meetings or large annual meetings that bring folks together. And PQCs will also push out newsletters and podcasts, all in an effort to get out information about best practices. Hospital teams often talk about how it's the collaborative learning that's a huge, one of the best parts about all of this learning, because the teams share their challenges, they share their successes, they share what works and what doesn't work, and it's a tremendous learning space for hospital teams. The second pillar for PQCs, a PQC QI initiative would be rapid response data. So PQCs receive data from hospitals, and it does vary a bit from state to state. So in some states, the hospitals will submit data directly to the PQC through secure portals. Sometimes hospitals will report data to the hospital association or to the State Department of Health, or there are a couple of different ways that it's done, but basically, the PQCs get information, the data from hospitals, and package it into an understandable summary report, and then feed it back rapidly to hospitals. And it's really a huge benefit. It's meant to be of benefit to hospitals so that you can track your own progress as you're making changes and improving outcomes. It also gives hospitals the ability to look at how your hospital may compare to those in your region or those in your state or even nationally. So it's meant to be really beneficial. And then the last pillar of a QI